So we were talking about Hurricane Joaquin the other day, and it came up that even though we have satellites, we still have these weather squadrons that fly into hurricanes. And a listener via email, Brett Farrell, put me on to a gentleman who stands by. He's David Bertram, who's a pilot in the 60s and flew into a bunch of typhoons in the Pacific. Thanks for taking the time here, David. How you doing?
Oh, doing great.
You're in the Air Force from 65 to 67, and we're just talking before we started here. You flew into how many total typhoons?
I flew into 31 typhoons.
31. Now, when you did you sign on for the weather squadron, or do you get sort of assigned to something like that?
Well, I was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, flying C-130s, and this was just an assignment. I was got assigned to Guam for a two-year period. We ended up 2.5 years there, but it was at the weather squadron. That was the our mission.
Right, so they have C-130s, and I'd imagine they have a lot more equipment on them, meteorological-type equipment, and you go up and you fly it into the typhoon.
Yeah, at that time, satellites were not being, they right. were just coming into the era, and so it was all, to track the typhoons, you had to fly into the eye, and then we would circle around through the typhoon for about 6 hours, and then go back into the eye. That way you could tell any movement of the typhoon, you get the strength of the typhoon, and all this was for warning of all the islands out there, the Japanese fishing fleets, and our United States Navy's 7th Fleet.
Sure, and all for a military salary. The first time you did it, was it what you expected it to be? I mean, most people don't like any turbulence at all, the average flyer. Pilot's a different matter, you're more used to it. But the first time you did it, what was that like?
Well, it's, of course, you're apprehensive, and you're flying into a storm, which is normally not what pilots like to do.
Right.
We were trained in it. Of course, I was the first time I was with another pilot that was experienced in flying into the storms. And it was, you know, different, but I was in my 20s, so you're not...
Sure.
You're a little more fearless than you are later on.
Well, I mean, is it safe to say it's unlike any other turbulence you would tend to come across while flying?
That's true. The biggest thing, and turbulence-wise, it's the fact that it's pretty consistent, pretty constant, because a lot of rain in the storms and a pretty steady turbulence, although we did fly them at the speed that was the airplane was designed to handle the turbulence.
Yeah.
So we were prepared for it, and we would go into the storm. You might have some smooth periods in the storm when you cross what we call the feeder bands, or the big bands of moisture and that feed the typhoon itself. They're usually rough, and then your heaviest turbulence is in the wall cloud, which is around the eye. And it was necessary for us to go into the eye to, you know, that's where you get the best data on
the
storm follows its strength and movement.
And once you're in there, things smooth out real nice. But then you have to get back out. And then you have to go back in again and get back out again.
Yeah. And some of the wall clouds were really bad. Some of them, they're not real thick, you might say. So you're not in them more than a few minutes as a rule. And then once you get into the eye is usually calm. There'll be some scattered clouds. Some eyes are big, some are smaller.
Did it get to the point where you looked forward to it?
It was, I always found it interesting. I don't know that you look forward to it. It was really amazing to see the power and the strength of these things. You see the ocean down below you. We were at 10,000 feet. Once the winds and the storm got up to 65 knots or a little over 70 mile an hour, we would go up to about 10,000 feet and penetrate there. And that was primarily due to the turbulence and to get the information on the storm. Before that, we flew them at 1,500 feet, which is not very high.
No. So you're out of the service. You went on to be a commercial pilot for the rest of your life and just kind of compared to that, kicked back and took it easy.
Yeah, I went to work for Delta Air Lines, flew them 31 years, and when I retired, I built my own airplane.
Oh, did you really? So you still fly?
Yeah, I'm still flying. In fact, Brett Farrell, who gave you my name,
yeah,
I test flew his airplane. He built the same kind that I built.
Oh, that's cool. So is this a single-seater?
No, it's four seats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe he could take me for a ride. Maybe I don't want to. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the rundown. It amazes me that that we still have to do that. I guess, I mean, satellites today get you a lot of the data you need, but not all of the data. So in 2015, we still have people doing, you know, a lot of what you did for a living back there in the 60s. And no thanks. I'm one of those. You know, no thank you. I ain't doing it. So I appreciate your time here, David Bertram. Enjoy the rest of your retirement and flying whenever you choose.
You bet. And thanks for calling.
You bet. Take care. All right, since I play house in the